Today we celebrate the second most important feast in the liturgical year of the Church. Often in our popular expression of Christianity, or maybe in our imaginations, we think of other feast days of having preeminence over Pentecost. It's often, I think, because we don't understand the history of this feast and, of course, the theology behind it. The three great feasts in the year, as you recall, are Pascha, or Passover, that is in English, Pentecost, 50 days later, and then Theophany, the baptism of our Lord. These are the three great ancient Christian feasts. Today we celebrate the only feast that is second to Pascha, and that is the Feast of Pentecost. A little hint of its importance might be the wearing of a green vestments or brightly colored vestments today. And of course, you also might see some greenery in the church. Grain and foliage from the trees. In the ancient world, in ancient Israel, in the ancient Mediterranean, Palestine, the Holy Land, in that area, everyone celebrated three major agrarian feasts. The first was in the springtime, when they began to harvest their barley. All of the people in the region, including the pagans, offered this beginning of the harvest to their god or their gods, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, etc. The Israelites, during this time in the spring, at the beginning of the barley harvest, were in Egypt. And it was during that time when all of the nations around were thanking their gods for giving them the new springtime, new life, and this sign of hope, the beginning of the barley harvest, that Israel remembered through the centuries how God had freed them from Egypt. During that time, there are plenty of seats up here. Come on, anywhere there's plenty of seats. Now, the barley harvest may not mean anything to you, as it doesn't for most modern Christians, but it did in the ancient world. This is before Costco. Before Costco, how do you get food? Well, you have to grow it. You have to grow it or trade with something you have with someone around you. If you're a sheep herder, you trade some lambs for some barley or some wheat, etc. Barley and wheat, the grain from which the bread was made in the ancient Eastern Mediterranean world, was the staple of life. In fact, in Hebrew, lechem or artos in Greek, this word means bread, but it also just means food. Because in the ancient world, before our modern experience of this wealth we have, the main food you ate at every meal was bread. You ate bread with a little piece of meat or something, whatever else you could afford, but the main thing that filled your belly and filled the belly of your family was the bread that the woman of the household had baked that day. Now, what happens if you have no barley? Or no wheat. Again, there's no Costco. What if there was not enough grain coming up that year? Well, you would starve. Your nation might starve. There would be a famine. People would die. There are no helicopters to drop crates of grain. You know in the Old Testament all the stories of the people sometimes leaving because of a famine. The people of Israel left with Abraham. They went down into Egypt because of a famine. Remember. The story of Ruth is all about a famine that was in the Holy Land. In Bethlehem, the place of bread, right? Bethlehem, the very place of food, there's no food. And so they left and they went to the land of the Moabites. All right, and they found nothing but, you know, death there, of course. It's a region, a very dry area. And they came back. So when Israel every springtime celebrated in the spring the beginning of the barley harvest, that God had given them grain. And all the nations were, they remembered the springtime and the new life they had when they came out of Egypt. 50 days later, is the end of the grain harvest. After the harvest of barley, then the harvesters would begin to celebrate and harvest the wheat, which was now dry, now ready for harvest. And after 50 days, from the beginning of the barley harvest to the end of the wheat harvest, 50 days total, they now looked at their barns full of the grain for the year, and they thanked their gods again for what He has given, the sustenance for the year. Israel was at Mount Sinai at that time in the year. They had made it from Egypt to Mount Sinai, and it's there that they received not ordinary bread, but bread from heaven. The Word of God, which came down, given to them on stone tablets. As Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the people of Israel had these stone tablets, you recall, and they would meditate upon the law that was written therein. Sometimes they might keep it, sometimes, more often than not, they did not keep it. The law was external. It was a list of things they should and should not do. And then, at the end of the year, in the agrarian culture, in the agricultural world, in the fall, they had what we call in America a fall festival. From the German countries, the Oktoberfest. Right? In the fall, this is when you harvest, late summer and fall, you harvest your grapes, your olives, figs, dates, etc., almonds. And then they would have a celebration just before winter came with all this wonderful new resources for sustenance, wine and oil, almonds, etc. This was called the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Huts. In the ancient agrarian world, when the harvesters were out in the fall harvesting from these trees, and it starts to get cold, especially in Judea, it can start even to snow, they would stay out in the fields guarding the harvest overnight, and while they were waiting for the sun to rise to begin harvesting again, they would build temporary little shelters, little huts, out of the branches from the trees to keep the snow off of them. Israel recalled how from Mount Sinai, when they accepted the law and forward, God had caused them to dwell in temporary housing, the tents, and how, most importantly, God had come to dwell among them in an earthly tent. So the Feast of Tabernacles, the end, is the great, great feast, because God finally came to dwell among them. But you know what happened. The people sinned, they did not keep the law, and the glory cloud disappeared. For Christians from the early church, we celebrate these feasts not because we are Judaizers, not to imitate the Jews. If we did, we would be keeping Yom Kippur and who knows what else and not eating ham sandwiches, etc. That's called Judaizing. We do not do that. But we celebrate from the early church, the early Christians, the apostolic witness was this. The early Christians celebrated the feast of Passover, or Aramaic, Pascha, because it's on that day, at that feast, that Jesus died and rose from the dead, and they remembered how this was a new beginning, a new springtime for humanity, a new harvest. The harvesting not of Israel from Egypt from among the nations, but of the new Israel, the church from among the nations. 50 days later, you recall what happened, the feast we celebrate right now. While the Jews were remembering how on Mount Sinai, God had given them the law on stone tablets. He had gone up and brought down the law and given it to them and said, here is the law. Now keep it. Do you remember what happened at Mount Sinai? They said, all that the Lord has said we will do. Until Moses wasn't watching. Moses went back up the mountain, to get the directions on how to build the tent, the meeting tent, where God would dwell among his people. And while he was up there, they began to worship the golden calf, one of the gods of Egypt, breaking the very first and great commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. It is Yahweh your God who brought you out of Egypt. No other gods. Do not make an image of one of those false gods and worship it. While they had said with their mouths all this the Lord has said we will do, they did not keep the law. And so Moses came down the mountain, you remember, and smashed those tablets as a sign that the covenant was over. Three 3,000 died that day at Mount Sinai. When Moses came down the mountain and said, who is on the side of Yahweh and who is on the side of the gods of Egypt? And the Levites gathered to Moses and said, we are on the side of Yahweh. We will worship him alone. And so Moses said, take your swords and kill every one of those who worship the golden calf. And 3,000 died that day at the hands of the new priests of the old covenant. But the feast we celebrate today is something totally different. We celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, Pentecosti Imera, the 50th day from Passover, yes. Because on that day when the Jews in the first century were remembering how God had given them the law, but they had not kept it. On that day, the law of God, the Word of God, that is Jesus Christ, descended into the hearts of the faithful by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not on stone tablets so one man could say to another, look, behold, there is the law, keep it. But rather, as the prophet Jeremiah said in his 31st chapter, the law will be written on the hearts in the new covenant. How does that happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit that God caused to descend upon the apostles. Now, this is why in the church we have today granary. I have for you some little vases of some wild grains here, some oats, to remind us of the history of this feast. But to remember also something very special, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The feast of Pentecost has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Feast of Pentecost has been fulfilled in the descent of the Holy Spirit, which causes the Word of God to dwell in our hearts now. But the Word of God, as we have spoken of many times before, is God. And so when the Word of God descends into your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, then God is dwelling among us in an earthly tent. And so the Feast of Pentecost is a celebration for Christians, not only of the gift of the Holy Spirit on that great day to the apostles, but also the Feast of Tabernacles, which is why we have the church decorated with the branches of the trees. Because it is from the Feast of Pentecost forward until today and into the second coming of Christ that we have entered into the Feast of Tabernacles, when God is now dwelling among us. This is the great gift we have. Now, what do we do with it? Do we keep it? The Jews received the law and did not keep it, as St. Stephen says. Do we keep the law? What is the law? Love God and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, this summarizes the law and the prophets. How should you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, for one, do you speak to your neighbor about Jesus Christ? Do you share what has been given to you to those around you? The Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, and what did they do next? They closed the doors, closed the shutters, and sat around with each other and talked about Jesus? No. They opened the shutters, they opened the doors, and they went out into the city and they began to proclaim the Word of God with great power. Because as Jesus says, that which is in your heart comes out of your mouth. And so the Word of God was preached by the apostles in Jerusalem. And what did they do when they heard the Word of God? They repented. They said to Peter and the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent of your wicked ways. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And you shall receive the forgiveness of your sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit," just as the apostles had. The apostles had the Spirit already upon them. But it wasn't for them and them alone. It was for all the crowds, for all the nations, as Jesus said. "Go out and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And so this is what the apostles did. And this is what we are called to do with the great gift God has given us in the Holy Spirit. To go out and preach the Word of God in the neighborhood, in the workplace, in the family. You might say, "Well, I can't do that. I've never had a theology course. Well, I don't know the faith well enough." This is what Moses said when God called him. Moses said, "You've got the wrong guy. I can't even speak." But was Moses the right man for the job? Yes, he was. Because as God said to Moses, "Don't worry, Moses, I will be with you. I will be with you." And so when you are in the neighborhood, when you are in the family, in the workplace, preach the Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. The good news. This is what the world needs to hear. You might ask, "But what do I say?" St. Francis famously said, "Preach the Word, the gospel, always. And when necessary, use words." Huh? In our actions, are we any different in the neighborhood from our neighbor? Are we any different in the workplace from the one in the cubicle next to us? Are we Christian in the way we live our life? But what are the words that we are to proclaim? It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Christ is risen from the dead, has trampled down death by death, and to those in the tombs He has given life. God is the author of life, not death. God is the author of life, and He has given us life to live with Him for all eternity in the Garden of Eden. The Feast of Tabernacles is fulfilled in the church. Because it's in the church when you can be baptized, chrismated, receive the Holy Spirit, and then have the promise of the future bodily resurrection from the dead. This is the good news we need to tell the neighborhood, our family, our friends. When our loved ones die in our midst and are buried in the cold dirt, when we kiss our loved ones goodbye for the last time, that is not the end. Jesus said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is the good news that the world needs to hear. This is the Christian gospel. All those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, have been chrismated, have received the Holy Spirit, and have received His body and blood, will, as Jesus said, be raised from the dead on the last day. And on that day, the fullness of the Feast of Tabernacles, that is the Garden of Eden, will be experienced by us. When we will see again our loved ones who have died and gone before us, we will dwell with them and with God for all eternity in the reestablished Garden of Eden. That was God's plan from the beginning, and His plan will not be thwarted. And so let us glorify Jesus Christ, His eternal Father, and the all-holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and to ages of ages. Amen.